Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Speaker of the House for South Dakota Legislature Steve Haugard is with us today on the phone from Pierre. We're going to get a little update on what's happening in Pierre this week and beyond. Speaker Haugard, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
You have a very full schedule, so we appreciate you taking the time. And at this point in the session, as you look at where you're at, where we're all at, what are some of the early successes that you think, some of the conversations that have risen to the top and legislation that's moving forward that you feel particularly good about right now?
Well, early successes is kind of hard to say because most of the bills that have actually been signed into law, they're dealing with kind of the mundane things of updating dates and schedules of drugs and those kinds of things. So not an awful lot of substance. The governor obviously signed her first bill, being the constitutional carry bill. So that was a significant item that she wanted to address. But as far as other details, they're still kind of in flux. There's an awful lot of things that are being negotiated. There's the frustration, I guess, we always have is most of our bills, or many of our bills at least, deal with issues that come to us because of federal rules or regulations. And so those are the things we try to work around. And a lot of that is Medicaid dollars or IHS issues, Indian Health Service issues, those kinds of things. So we continue to work on those issues. An example is yesterday, visiting with some individuals in regard to Native American bills that were brought forward. And some of those were ceremonial bills and those types of things. But just trying to find ways to get to accomplishing any given goal as opposed to, dealing with the federal rules and regs that are just really hamstring us in so many ways.
Moving forward, what do you think some of the priorities are going to be? Is that sort of indicative of the entire session, or is there a way to manage that and get at some of
the
issues that you think are key to the state?
Yeah, no, that's a annual problem, just dealing with those things. But the things I think that we're going to get accomplished is we'll actually get some attention provided to the nursing home issues and the corrections issues to try to clarify how we can do better with both juveniles and adult offenders in the correction system. So I think there'll be some of that. Some of that may end up being played out more in the nature of ongoing policy changes and rule changes, but the certainly right now the Appropriations Committee and all the members in both chambers and the governor's office are looking carefully at how many dollars do we have available to address those needs in the nursing home category and the community support providers and those folks that make a significant difference in our lives as far as providing those services that most people can't provide themselves.
As we look at early revenue projections, seeming to indicate that you might have a little more money to work with than you thought, how are people receiving that news? Is that an opportunity to tackle some of these complex issues in the state?
Well, you can view it that way. The way I'd rather view this is we shouldn't always plan to spend every dime that comes in, and those are not dollars necessarily that are actually in our pocket. Those are dollars that are projected to be in our pocket. So we need to be a little bit cautious doing that. As far as the key issues or the core issues that seem to be more in the news than most, such as the nursing home compensation levels and the trying to retain staff at the community service level, those items really need to be more structurally satisfied in the budget as opposed to simply being addressed with those available dollars that we think show up at the end of the session. And unfortunately, that too many times is a distraction for us, that we're just focused on these few dollars that maybe they'll come in, maybe they won't. To solve those greater problems, we really should have that built into the core of the budget. And that's what's being done right now, is to set some of those budget numbers in the next several days. So I think we'll have some better certainty about that.
So help me understand that by way of example. Do you want to use like nursing home compensation levels? And,
yeah.
and how does that structurally yeah. improve? Help me understand that.
Well, better. Yeah, some of those areas where we believe that there's going to be a shortage, we believe we need to enhance the reimbursement levels. Some of those things can be built into the core of the budget and just probably force some parts of the budget as it currently exists to either stay flat or maybe repurpose some of the money it's already allocated. But when those things become priorities, we should have those resolved within the framework of the budget as opposed to continuing to just let everything grow without being checked and reduced in some areas. And there's ongoing studies that are in play right now, too, such as these lean studies that we have where they take a look at the efficiency and the effectiveness of any given agency. And we're trying to work our way through all the different aspects of government to look at that, to see if there is a better way to provide the services that are being provided by the state, whether it's corrections or it's education or it's social services, whatever area it might be, trying to find out, are we doing it the best way possible? And there's always room for improvement. We all know that. So those are some of the areas where we can maybe repurpose some of those dollars and actually get the problems solved on an ongoing basis instead of just looking for one-time money. We hate looking for one-time money because it solves a problem this year, but it doesn't take care of it in the future. So,
it's not a matter of finding money from increased revenue projections or just writing one bill. It's about really looking at the big picture of how state government runs and saying we can't let this problem continue to be a problem long term.
Exactly.
Got it. Thank you.
Because you look at the revenue projections and. Typically, what happens is we get kind of dazzled with, well, it looks like we'll have an extra $10 or $20 million to work with. Well, that's fine, but it shouldn't be the thing that you hang your hat on as far as satisfying some of these ongoing needs. In this nursing home situation, I think we'll probably be able to find the funds to repurpose to satisfy most of that right now. It's not going to be a big profit center like. Could be in some other states, but it's at least we'll get it under control, and I think we'll have an ongoing plan for how it's going to be continually appropriated.
Speaker Hauger, can you explain for people, you kind of mentioned the lean evaluations and looking at, tell people exactly how that's working as it rolls out from department to state government and some of the early indications of how it's working.
Well, it works pretty well with any agency that's tried it, and you know, it's common sense kind of approach, and you'd like to think that all of us go into our work, whether it's whatever work we do here or other agencies do, and their year-long process, you'd like to think that they're all looking for a big picture solution, but oftentimes people are just immersed in the day-to-day activities. This gives a kind of a fresh set of eyes to come in, fresh set of questions to be asking, and for the agencies to actually kind of do a self-analysis and come up with better solutions for the problems they're trying to tackle. And, you know, we'd like to think that we're all trying to do that, but as I say, you get bogged down in the day-to-day activities, and this is the way we've always done it. A lean review gives them an opportunity to take a fresh look at their practices, what their objectives are, and figure out if they're achieving their objectives. And it's sort of like education, for example. I like to cite to the constitutional provision that begins Article 8 of our Constitution. It speaks about the purpose of public education. And that purpose, when you go back to the setting the foundation for the purpose of public education, it was to ensure that the citizenry was both moral and intelligent, so that they can engage in the process of voting in elections and having representatives. So that's the way it starts out. It talks about the stability of a republican form of government depending upon the morals and intelligence of the people. It shall be the duty of the legislature to establish a uniform system of education free to the public. And that's that core mission. And you'd look at any of the other areas, health and human services, what's your core mission? And have you stretched yourself too thin in too many areas? And do you need to regroup and get focused back on what is the original goal? So that's the purpose of these lean studies, to kind of recenter, refocus. What are we trying to accomplish and how can we do it better?
When you use the example of education and sort of going back to the foundations of how it was established then extrapolate to the current time when education is doing so much more than it, you know, than maybe people originally intended, but because we live in a different time, how does that directly apply to, you know, making an organization efficient financially?
Well, what you could do, when you step way back, you know, if you've got 100 different facets of education, for example, and each person, say there's 100 people overseeing their facet of education, you step back far enough to figure out, are all these areas needed, or is there some way to combine them, or are we missing our mark here on the goal? And so that's what you hope you can do, is recalibrate, figure out, have we stretched ourselves too thin in some areas? Is there a way that, even if we want to cover all these areas, is there a better way to do it? Is there an efficiency that we're missing? And, you know, that's just one of those areas where a good business model application to this would say, here's an area where you're spending too much time or too much money, or you've stretched yourself into an area that's not required. And so then you'd want to reevaluate and figure out if that's a place where we repurpose employees or funds or whatever we might do. So you can take that to every area, whether it's education or health and human services or ag or corrections or anything like that. Just find out, is this accomplishing our mission? And you might look at that with corrections, for example. Too many times we get right in the midst of it and you can't really see what your end game was. Your end game probably should be to rehabilitate and to exercise some degree of retribution against someone. Well, you do that, or you're doing too much retribution, or you're not doing enough rehabilitation, or have you changed your process leading up to that too much that you've created an obstacle. So in my practice, in law practice, there are some things that we have developed over the past. From my perspective, I've been in practice for 36 years, but over the past probably 20 years, we've changed some of our procedures in such a way that they seemed to be a good thing at the time. But if you look back at them now, you realize you've kind of duplicated some efforts. So there are areas where you could modify some of the rules or regulations in correction or in the judicial system and maybe streamline it a bit too. So that's the idea of a lean study. Let's just step back long enough, take a breath, and figure out, are we getting our mission accomplished?
Sure. Changing subjects, yesterday we were talking on this program about vehicle bills or hog house bills and the number of them this session, and some questions Governor Noem had about that and how the session was going. What can you tell us about the larger number of vehicle bills this year in session, the intent of them, and what's being done to sort of address transparency and issues such as that?
Well, what's being done as far as addressing transparency is the vehicle bills that we've had, and we always have vehicle bills, but the ones that we've had, we're getting the amendments on so that people can see the full intent of the bill, get those posted up, and not hear that bill right away. Typically, when you have a committee hearing scheduled, you hear the bill. Well, in this case, if these are vehicle bills, that first committee hearing is going to simply be an opportunity to move the amendment, which is actually the whole body of the bill at that time, move that on so that it exists, and then the details of it will not be debated until it's been on the calendar for a couple of days. So that way the public can review it and see what the bills are all about, see if they want to be involved in testifying or opposing, supporting, whatever it might be. But as far as the number of the bills, you know, it's a combination of factors this year. We've got obviously an election year, so there are a lot of new members. We had a number of things that we're hoping to make changes in as far as changing the way we do business with the budget. So there was a need for some of those vehicle bills. And then just having a new governor come in, didn't quite know what her plans would be until we had seen her roll out of the budget. We certainly knew what her goals were generally from the campaign and from some speeches after the campaign, after the election. So we had some pretty good ideas, and it, for the most part, the basic budget wasn't radically changed. So that was part of the reason for the vehicle bills. And there wasn't anything intended to be sneaky about getting bills into the system. It was because obviously you submit your bill, even if you'd move the bill right away in a committee, it's still going to be heard there. Then it's got to go to the House floor. And then after it goes to the House floor, if it passes there, then it goes to the Senate side and the Senate has a committee hearing. So, and then if it passes the Senate committee, then it goes to the Senate floor. So, and then it has an opportunity to be vetoed by the governor anyway. So there's a long process. It's everything gets aired out. There's system we have that's really pretty hard to have a sneak attack on anything. It's going to become pretty obvious what the agendas might be and if it's a good plan or not. So I think we have a good system. I don't think the information about the vehicle bills necessarily was all that significant. It was unfortunate there's so many, but a lot of those have already dropped off. People are at a point where they've gotten their final bills drafted and they know they don't need this vehicle bill anymore. So I would think the majority of those are just going to evaporate.
Speaker Steve Haugard with the South Dakota State Legislature, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Lori.